The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Kick off the show here.
We're in green!
So cleaned up.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back in Bill's Mafia. Welcome to the Mafia Cast. We are, of course, live here. We've got some free agency news going on, and so this whole show is kind of going to be focused on that. But before we, before we get too deep into the show, of course, we've got a little message from our friends over at Game On Sports. I can't talk today. Here we go.
Hey, it's John from Game On Sports Memorabilia. Check out our huge selection of unopened wax boxes of Pokemon cards. You have to see our selection of over 2 million sports cards in stock, plus hard-to-find card supplies. And if you have anything to sell, bring it in. We can help you determine the true value before you sell it. We pay fair market value every day. It's Game On Sports Memorabilia, 2670 Dewey Avenue in Greece. Check out our podcast for news and information on the card and collectible universe. Also, check out our Facebook page.
For more, call 481-2153. That's 481-2153.
That's Game On Sports. Check them out if you get a chance to. They got some really great merchandise and memorabilia over there. It's not just Bill's stuff either. It's any sport, basically. Football cards, baseball cards. I believe they even have Pokemon if you're into that. Fellas, so first of all, how you guys doing?
Doing all right. There's like a lot going on suddenly, it seems like.
All of a sudden at the last second.
Good. Good last 2 hours. Filled my belly full of tacos and rice. Found out Coach Samuel was not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been all right. So let's just kind of, well, first of all, just want to say, if you're watching live, if you're listening live, whatever the case may be, please hit the like and the subscribe button. We thank you for joining us. We're over 200 live currently, so that's outstanding. If you're in the comments, if you're on YouTube, Facebook, whatever, you got something you want to say, the Super Chats are open. Hit us up with some comments and questions, thoughts, ideas. We want to make this show about the fans. So what do you guys think? First of all, let's just go back. I want to start with the very first, I think probably the very first piece of news from the free agency that we got. Was from Gabe Davis. Day one, technically the new league year hadn't even started yet. First day of legal tampering, Casey's favorite phrase.
It's so
Gabe
dumb.
Davis signed, or well, agreed to terms. What do you guys think about the deal he got? I think it was a 3-year for 39.
Happy for him. I mean, you'd like to see him get more. I also was on the fence about seeing him stay, but I it's a fresh start. For both sides. I hope to just see him be productive as possible in the future. I really like to see guys on our team in the past doing well. But not if we have to play against them.
Which we will next year. We will be playing against them. I don't know, because the Texans won the division. So we'll be playing the Texans.
I don't know. I haven't actually looked at the schedule or the upcoming opponents in quite some time.
We all expected Gabe to leave. I mean, I feel like that was the mantra of this whole year. I think it was one of those. I described it as loosely, a toxic relationship, to where each side needed to let each other go to be better. Hopefully be better. You know, I like Mike said, I hope the best for Gabe. You know, we all loved him as a player. He was a team captain, so obviously the team loved him. It's going to be the wide receiver room in Jacksonville is very interesting. I really thought that Ridley was going to end up going back. And so I thought Gabe was going to fit in perfectly into a solid, you know, number two, number three receiver form, pairing with Ridley, Kirk, and also Evan Engram at tight end. But now it seems like, you know, it's going to be a dogfight between he and Christian Kirk as to who's going to be the true number one. There's over 100 targets to be absorbed down there. So Gabe is able to, you know, really pull it in. He's back closer to home, back playing in Florida. I saw a quote today that when he saw his phone ring and saw that his agent and the team agreed on a number and the contract, that, you know, he said, thank God they called. I get to go home. You know, players always want to play close. You know, you look at Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta. It's, you know, it's one of those things. If I could play football professionally in my backyard, I would too. Same kind of reason why we all can't really hate too much on Jordan Poyer. As much as it stings that he's going to the Dolphins, and, you know, Ronnie texted Mike and I and asked, you know, so how do we feel? And I said, my explanation was just kind of, you know, butthurt, you know, just not that we were screwed over. He was let go. He was released. You know, it wasn't like he asked
of all places.
Has to be cut. Yeah, I mean, but we kind of expected him to go to Miami last year, and then he surprised us with re-signing with Buffalo. The contract they gave him, I thought they gave Poyer, was kind of interesting, in my opinion. 1 year, $2 million. Mm-hmm. You know, Buffalo could have offered that. And they chose not to, which shows that they truly wanted to.
Or did he choose not to accept it? Maybe they did.
Well, exactly. You know, that's
he wanted sunshine and lower taxes too.
Yeah, I mean,
he has made that clear.
You can't blame him.
He's from there. I get it. So maybe this I think his contract means that he's going to be sort of a floating safety. You know, maybe not in every single down safety play, but going to play more in the box. Kind of be like a nickel dime safety corner for Miami. They might just say, hey, go when he plays Buffalo, just you don't leave Josh Allen. And if Josh Allen runs him over, I'm going to run around my house screaming like a little squeaker.
Let me ask you this, because you brought that up, and it was something that I was kind of thinking about when they first announced that. So him and Saran Neal signed there as well. Do you think that gives the Dolphins an advantage knowing Josh Allen, or maybe gives Buffalo an advantage with Allen knowing their tendencies, or is it just kind of a wash?
I think it'd be more so a wash. I mean, schematics changes on offense. I feel like there's more you can do on offense, like, and change it than you can defense. You know, defense, you're either playing man, or you're playing a two high safety zone, or you're playing one high safety zone. Or maybe you're playing man across the board, it's such as like a cover one. So Josh is a better player than Poyer, so I'll give Josh the upper hand on that every time. I don't think it really means all that much. If so, you know, the Bills would have tried to sign every player the Patriots cut during the Tom Brady era.
That's true. I want to kind of move forward a little bit, and We lost Leonard Floyd, which for me personally, I wasn't overly concerned about that. I would have liked to have seen him sign back on just because we we don't really have a lot of depth at defensive end, and we're unsure of what to expect from Von Miller next year. Mm-hmm. I personally think he's going to be more of his former self than what we saw last year, but not quite the same. I think the age is catching up. But I don't think what we saw last year is who he is either. I think we get somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. We don't know. I mean, Gregory Rousseau, I think he had six and a half sacks last year. AJ Epenesa is coming back. Same thing, 6.5 back-to-back seasons of 6.5. So I just felt like if we could have had Leonard Floyd maybe come back, would have given us a little more depth, a little bit more of an insurance policy in case things don't work out with Von Miller or – God forbid another injury to one of our edge players. But is edge a concern for you guys? Would you have maybe tried harder to keep Leonard Floyd? And I don't remember what his contract is. I think it was a pretty hefty one by what Bills can afford. But
I want to say it was like one. I know he's getting like $10 million a year. So it was either a 1 or 2 year deal with San Francisco. Mm. So
yeah, I think it was two.
Bills paid him 1 year, $9 million last year, but we had, you know, a little bit more wiggle room than we did this year.
Yeah.
Right. And I think we could use a depth piece maybe, but I'm really excited to see what Epenesa is going to do this year. So I wouldn't say I'm overly concerned. But I mean, he was a good player. He also faded a little, I think later, you know, we all saw that.
Bringing that up, one thing I did not or was not aware of, I don't think, or don't remember anyways, I guess Epenesa did suffer a core injury last year.
Mm-hmm. The play he picked off Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Rebs, I do remember that. And from what I've read, it did kind of linger throughout the season. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Mike. I'm kind of interested to see what he does maybe as a more of a full-time role than what we've seen him in. Because we have seen him play extremely well. We've seen him be elite at times. But then, yeah, disappear. I've referred to him as the Gabe Davis of the defense. He's there and then he's not, and you just don't know when to expect him to show up.
Yeah.
But maybe the injury had something to do with that last year. Maybe that, you know, slowed him down. One of the things I did like that he had said is his goal this year is to be a starter.
Yeah.
The reason he agreed to a 2-year deal with at what he did with him is because he wants to prove himself, become a starter, show that he can and does deserve a big money payday, and then go get it in a year or two. I love that mentality, and I'm hoping that pays off for him.
And I love the fact of waiting a couple years maybe to get paid.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
That's part of but that's also another player helping out the Bills. You know, we might, mm-hmm. a lot of people might not have thought about it like that. We can't pay you out the butt right now. You know, we can pay you two years, you know, $20 million, whatever he got. And, you know, in 2 years, when this contract's up, if you've accumulated something, you know, 20 sacks over the next 2 years, then yeah, well, like we can pay you, you know, we can talk and bump that number up for sure when we have more cap space. He could also be right. an extension candidate next year. We have a lot of right now, as it stands, we have a lot of money in 2025 in regards to cap. So that extending him could like make it even more. I've been an AJ Epenesa fan since the get go. The year he came out was the year we got Diggs, and I was. Like, he was who I wanted in the first round. And when we got him in the second round, I was like, oh, my God, we got our guy. And as we've all mentioned, like, he came his rookie year, he was dealing with shedding a bunch of weight. You know, the Bills wanted him. McDermott mm-hmm. wanted him to shed. He shed something like 20, almost 30 pounds. And, you know, that's different for an athlete. You're not used to playing, you know, with the quickness that you're going to gain and maybe the muscle mass that you're going to lose. So the fact that, like, his body's now back up to par, like where he should be, where he's comfortable playing at, where he's used to playing at now. He's had now 3 or 4 years in the league. I think he's ready to make a jump. And yeah, he's betting on himself, only taking a 2-year deal, because I'm sure another team might have offered something right around there with a little bit more money in a couple more years.
Yeah. Let's talk about Von Miller for just a second. We did kind of brought him up a little bit while ago. Were either of you, I guess, surprised that he did what he did in taking a near almost $10 million pay cut to help, again, help the team out? For me, I think it was significant that he recognized that, you know what, I didn't play up to my contract. Let me give you some money back and let's build this team.
Yeah.
And like you just said, let me bet on myself next year. Let me earn that money back through sacks. I think I saw if he gets over 15 sacks, I think was the number, he will earn $20
million. Right.
That, and get and back up it, to where? Making it to the Super Bowl. That was his last. That was the last that one was of the other, incentives. Yeah.
It's got to be one or the other, or right?
Both. I think it's both.
Oh, both. Okay.
Well, there's incentives baked into all of it, but if he achieves the 15 plus sacks and the Super Bowl, he gets the max. Yeah,
right.
He gets the max. Again, let's just say what you want about.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, just say what you want as far as the off the field stuff goes, and that's something we don't normally really talk about here because we don't know. But on the field, I think it's a classy move. I mean, I'm not first kind of move.
Yeah.
Well, and it shows he wants to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wouldn't say I'm as surprised as I am like relieved. Like it was
thankful.
We were all kind of, I'm thankful. Everyone was kind of, get rid of them. You know,
Well, I think they were going to. I think they told him
of the cap issue.
We're either gonna cut you this year and eat the dead cap, or you know, rework this deal and give us some money back. And he was like, "Yeah, I'm fine with that." Kudos to him. And real quick, if he gets those incentives, like if he gets 15 sacks, we are going to the Super Bowl.
We're in good shape.
Because that means teams are still doubling him. That leaves Groot, Daquan Jones, and Ed Oliver, and AJ Epinesa all on an island. And I'm going to bet one or two of those guys are going to win those one-on-ones.
Well, and here's the thing, too. If he hits that 15 number and Daquan Jones is playing at the level he was the first month of last year, he's going to be pulling those double teams and occupying those blocks, too. And I just think that, to me, just looking way too far ahead, those two guys are the most important right now on the defensive side of the ball. If those two guys have a season, have a Pro Bowl or all pro level seasons, it changes the entire defense.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. 100%.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
And what Daquan does doesn't just affect the rest of the defensive linemen. That clears up Terrell Bernard and Matt Milano. No, that makes their life 10 times easier. We saw how much more effective they were like when Daquan was in there. Because he's so good at eating up blockers, those linebackers are able to come through the line clean, you know, make better reads. Having a good defensive tackle is very important in the league nowadays.
It is. I mean, I would say almost, maybe the most important, to be honest, because if those guys in the middle, those two defensive tackles can collapse the pocket and eat up those blocks and not get pushed around, you're right. It makes it so much easier for everybody. It makes it easier for the edge players to get to the quarterback, which makes it easier for the linebackers to play sideline to sideline. And when you do that, it makes it easier on the back end in coverage because those guys aren't chasing the Tyreek Hills of the league for more than a second or two. It's huge thing. The other one, Dawson Knox. The word taking a pay cut I never saw was used. The words I saw used was reworked. And I meant to look up the numbers over at Spot Track before we came on, and I just didn't have a chance to.
They haven't come out.
Okay. Because I hadn't heard anything, and I wanted to see if Spot Track had anything for it, but I haven't seen that. But we do know that, regardless of what was done, rework to me is not a restructure. To me, that's a pay cut. Yeah.
It's Von Miller.
Do you think when a player of Von Miller's stature, even though he didn't have the greatest season last year, when a player of his stature does something like this, do you think that the players underneath him, even the young players, are looking like, now there's a professional right there. That's how it's. And maybe it affects them down the road when the Bills go to them. It's like, hey, remember what Von Miller did? We need to do the same. Can you help us out? Do you think that makes a difference?
I think it does. I mean, it's he's sort of looked at as a leader, I think. Especially to the younger guys. I mean, it's Von Miller. But we know how he was like in his prime, so to speak. But yeah, I mean, him doing that, it probably does show a lot. It probably could have some influence on the Epinesa thing, him kind of setting himself up to go get it.
Agree. I agree.
I think you're both right. But I also think Dawson saw himself last year, and not that his season was as bad as Von's, because it's pretty hard to get as bad as Von's was. But I think Dawson saw, like, he was like, hey, I had a down season myself. Like, I did not play that great. And I think he was like, hey, maybe like I will follow Von and give money back. Not that I'm sure he didn't walk into Brandon Bean's door and be like, hey, bro, let me cut you a check real quick. Like, it wasn't like that, but like, I'm sure that I have a feeling just, knowing who Dawson is, for as well as us fans can know him. It seems like he's that kind of player, and he's always said how much he loves playing in Buffalo. Like how he would literally die for Josh Allen, So if he's clearly not just saying those things. He truly feels that way about this team and the city. So it's nice to see that, culture is a true thing. And for all you Fire McDermott people out there, shout out.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I've talked about this. We've all talked about this multiple times as far as Sean McDermott goes. Players just don't do that for anybody. And I think, especially over the past year, they've really shown that they're going to go to battle with McDermott as their leader. I think that's a testament to, like you said, the culture that he's built there. I believe it was, I'm about to mention his name, so let's go ahead and talk about him, the new wide receiver, not the one that just signed today. We'll get to him in a minute. But the other one that we signed, agreed to terms, I don't know if he signed yet or not. I think he signed today, actually, but was Mac Hollins. He did mention today in his press conference that one of the reasons why he chose Buffalo was because of the winning culture that was here, and he wanted to be a part of that and be a part of something special. Where do you guys see Hollins fitting into this? Do you see him as just strictly a depth and a special teamer? Or do you see him maybe stepping in some packages with the offense and maybe making some plays?
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, more like a depth piece. Maybe more like Hardy or I want to say Isabella, but he was more just a special team, so I don't see him doing that. But I don't see him just coming in and with the pieces in play now, I don't see him coming in and having a role, right away in the offense.
You guys remember 2 years ago when we signed John Brown late in the season?
Mm-hmm.
And, he oddly enough, at number 16, I think it was. I got to say, that was pretty weird. that's the kind, like, the usage that he had is kind of what I would expect for Hollins. I feel like there's going to be plays drawn up for him. You know, maybe one play, like a couple plays every three games or something like that, to where they get him in specific packages. You know, they go 3-4 wide, or they show a heavy run set, and he does the leak out like Gabe used to, because he is a good blocker. Oh,
yeah, what's something that? Just dropped. It's nothing big, but I just don't want anyone to use the breaking news thing. That's cool. Trent Sherfield is officially signed elsewhere.
Okay.
He is signing with the Vikings, so he is officially no longer with the Bills and not an option. Well, it was kind of fitting that we were just talking about Hollins, and then this pops up that Trent Sherfield is gone. They're similar, right? Hollins is a good blocker, and I believe he's 6-something. I can't remember
six,
the height.
6'4", 221. I was going to say,
he's a bigger guy. So, Sherfield's gone. Hardy's gone. Gabe's gone. We've brought in two guys. We'll go ahead and move on to the newest one that was just announced today, and that's Curtis Samuel.
Yeah.
I have my thoughts on this, and we've actually kind of talked about Curtis Samuel in the past already with as far as him joining the Bills. And I know that at that time, I believe Casey and I had kind of differing opinions on that. And it's funny, I wrote an article today about the top five remaining wide receiver free agents that the Bills could target and should target, and Samuel was one of those. 4 hours later, he was signed. But Casey, we'll start with you. Yeah, he must have. I got a call earlier from him, but I was too busy. I couldn't get to it. That's probably what it was about.
Pretty sure he stays reading them.
Do me a favor and write one about Justin Simmons and Xavier Leggett. Thanks.
The wide receiver, the draft. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to get back to the safeties here in just a minute, but let's go ahead and talk about really quick Curtis Samuel again. So, Casey, what do you think about this deal? Or whatever it is? Or is it something that you're kind of like, okay, let's see what's going on? Or would you just not have him at all?
So my initial reaction when you texted us that he signed was the numbers were higher than I thought we were going to give out to a wide receiver this summer. I expected that more to either go to the defensive side of the ball. If we were to hand out a contract like that, not that they're, you know, it's an insane amount of money. He's basically getting $8 million guaranteed every year, which isn't bad. I've known Curtis Samuel from when he was in Carolina. I had him on my fantasy team back then, and so I knew of him. I followed him pretty closely, and he was fantastic. I loved him. I'd see him play, and I thought his speed and his ability to get downfield behind the defensive backs is what really impressed me. But I never thought he was like an official number two. So when Washington brought him in and gave him a decent contract, you know, and it seemed like they really wanted him to be like a real number two receiver, number one B, really. He just wasn't that. He's just not. You know, he's a good number three wide receiver who, in a tweet that we talked about before the show, between he, Shakir, and Diggs, they're three queens that you can move all across the board, meaning they can play all three spots, all three wide receiver spots. And so I'm fine with it. You know, it adds some more speed onto the team, which we needed. I believe he has returnability. He has some returnability. I think he has some kick and punt returns in his career. So I think I like it. I'm happy with it. I was just more surprised than anything.
Yeah, I think before I get into that, I know he's a sub 4.4 guy, but I want to say a 4.3, somewhere around the 4.3 mids. I'd have to look it up again to see, but I'm pretty sure that makes him the fastest receiver on the team.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's no offense, but that's not that hard to do.
Yeah.
which not is why we needed somebody like that.
Right. Now you say this.
What's
you,
your
Casey ahead, said Mike. Something along the lines of, you know, maybe not quite, you know, for sure number two. So it makes me wonder, you know, what does that mean for Shakir? Is that like, you know, are we going to have some battle here? The guy's going to be fired up and, you know, competing. And yeah, I think it's a great signing. And he's a very talented receiver. I mean, what do you guys think about that? Where does Shakir sit with this signing?
So I don't think it moves Shakir at all, to be honest. I think Shakir right now, as it stands, I think Shakir would be number two, and they would have Samuel number three. Mm-hmm. Part and because of Shakir's run blocking and how good he is, and that makes him an obvious three down receiver.
Okay.
But I think it would still be Shakir number two, but their numbers might be similar. I think Josh will look at Shakir in a more dire spot, you know, say we're down, it's third and 10. I think he'd look at Shakir. He'll be looking at Shakir before Samuel, but I think Samuel will still put up like similar numbers as to Shakir.
Solid option.
To me, it comes down to like just the trust factor.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a huge improvement to the wide receiver room. I think we all agree on that.
And yeah, no matter what. I mean, he's better than, what, all but two, three of the receivers we had last year. So.
And I want to say, you know, I said Matt Collins might not come in and have a role right away, but I do like the fact we're talking about run blocking, talking about how tall he is and stuff. It is nice to know that we do have, you know, a bigger target out there and someone who could block too, you know, when he, like you said, maybe some specialized game plans, you know, plays just made for him.
Collins, I mean, from I saw, like what he was best at was getting downfield, you know, being tossed a 50-50 ball that Josh liked to throw to Gabe and Diggs. But he's actually got the size to go to and like strength to go up and get it. You know, we finally actually have a big bodied wide receiver. So I think I'm higher on the Matt Collins signing than most people are, just from what I've seen in the past and the ability he's had.
Yeah, having with him playing for the Raiders, we've talked about before, my wife is a Raiders fan, so we watch the Raiders games every week. And there have been games where I'm watching him and he's open. He's making the plays, and there's been even times when he looks like the best receiver on the field for them. So there's talent there.
Right.
Absolutely.
We're definitely in better shape there, but it does get me worried about the draft too. You know, are we going to pass that up? Like I think you mentioned earlier.
I think top three rounds, we'll have another wide receiver.
Yeah.
But I agree with that. Mike's trying to get ahead of the game here a little bit.
I know.
And talk about the draft. I'm looking forward to talking about the draft. I've done a lot of write-ups already on that and a few mock drafts and stuff and things. But I want to get back to the Curtis Samuel thing really quick. You mentioned Khalil Shakir. I don't think it does anything for Shakir other than make things easier. I think they're going to use Samuel in a different way than what we saw, especially the last couple of years. Brady has worked with Samuel in the past. He worked with him in Carolina. Mm. And if you look at Samuel's numbers, his best yards per carry average were those years he was with, or sorry, per reception, were the years he was with Joe Brady. So I'm this is kind of what I'm envisioning is Samuel being that deep threat guy because he's got the speed for it. Being that guy that can take the top off the defense, force the safeties back, and that's just going to open up everything underneath for Dalton Kincaid and Khalil Shakir. And then you can throw in some James Cook in there too. And even, hey, we re-signed Ty Johnson. We haven't mentioned his name yet either, and I'm really happy for that one as well.
I'm thrilled about that.
Yeah. I see a different role than what he was in Washington for Samuel. I know a lot of people say he's only a slot guy. He's done both. Shakir's done both. We know Diggs has done both. So like you said, with the interchanging of these guys, you can move them all over the field. I want to ask you,
can I just say,
this is
real quick. So my wife's a Washington fan, so I've been able to like follow him the last couple of years since he was in there or on that team. He was a slot guy in Washington because that's what they needed. You know, they have Terry McLaurin, who is, you know, your definition of an X receiver, an outside receiver. And they also drafted Jahan Dotson early in the draft a couple of years ago, who is also an outside wide receiver. Samuel just fit in perfectly into that position.
Right.
So when everybody wants to talk about that, it's like, well, look at the reasonings outside as to why.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even remember what I was going to say, but I did post on X, formerly known as Twitter, shortly after the Samuel news came out. But I wanted to see, you know, kind of what people thought and their opinions on it. So I want to read a few of these. This one, he's always been more hype than substance. Throw in injury history, and I'm not super thrilled with giving him $8 to $10 million per season. Also, I don't love that he probably takes snaps from Shakir. I like the player on its face if used properly, but I don't love the money. And you kind of alluded a little bit to that earlier, Casey, as far as the money aspect of it. We talked about the Shakir part. I don't think it takes snaps away from Shakir. I do think that they're going to utilize Samuel in a different way. But Casey, talk a little bit more about the money as far as it's 8 to 10. I think the base is 8, and through incentives, you can get up to 10 per. What do you think about the deal, the contract?
I mean, like I said, I was more so surprised that it went to the offensive side of the ball than the defensive. I really thought this was going to be the year when Bill Bean might even trade up in the first round, like aggressively into the mid to late teens and take a wide receiver. But I don't think that's the case now. I think it would be smart for Bean we still have Diggs on the books for a couple of years. We have Shakir on his rookie deal for a couple of years still. Now we've got a pretty decent contract, you know, like if this is the quote unquote number two receiver, this is a very cheap contract because look at what the Chargers were paying Mike Williams to be their number two. They had to cut him to get a $20 million cap relief. Now, that's your number two nowadays, folks. That's not your number one anymore. Your number one's getting 25, 30 a year.
Yeah.
So like I'm fine with the money. Like I said, it was more so just a surprise. I really thought that once we didn't get Arik Armstead, which I really didn't think we were going to anyway, because I think we want to get younger on the defensive line, not stay the same 30 years old we have been. I thought they were going to throw that money at a safety or maybe even somebody like Chase Young or Jadeveon Clowney. Clowney's coming off the best year of his career last year with the Ravens.
Hey, it ain't over yet.
Took him 10 years to do it.
Hey, man. Look, tell that to Geno Smith.
Yeah.
1 year got him $150 million. Kudos on you, brother.
The thing I want to say about the money real quick is like, so if I like – the way I look at it is like you can compare it to Gabe Davis. Like we lost him. You know, he's gone and what he signed for elsewhere. Like – kind of like we saved money and got, you know, a pretty good improvement at wide receiver.
I mean, basically
$5 million difference.
Yeah. So like money is not, I mean, $10 million is a lot of money, but in the grand scheme of things, it's that's a decent deal. Sure.
I mean, and then you think about it. I mean, so say Shakir gets the, you know, yardage and touchdowns Gabe got last year. So he would be the, you know, number two. So now we're paying our number three, $8 million a year to put up what Shakir got last year, you know, 600 yards, 4 touchdowns, whatever it was, 60 catches. I'm fine with that because our number two, quote unquote, is under a rookie contract. And we might even have another rookie waiting in the wings.
I think Shakir only had 39 receptions last year.
okay. Well, still, even better.
He didn't come on until like the second half of the season either. So I think your number you just said 60 is more in line with what I would expect next year, between 60 and 70, I think, with a full season in the offense and learning from Joe Brady, or not learning from Joe Brady, but learning Brady's offense, because you know there's going to be some different nuances to that. Hold that thought.
Wide,
I got to go
I
back
to see
here,
a wide receiver just... pass. I do. We haven't had one in a while.
For those of you that, when this is on the podcast version, you're listening to the audio only, and I keep clicking the little breaking news banner is what's happening right now. So Tyrell Dodson is officially no longer Buffalo Bill, which saddens me.
Oh, wow.
But he is signing with the Seattle Seahawks.
I see.
Well, they did lose both their starting linebackers. They lost Jordan Reed to Miami, which that one hurts my soul because I really like Jordan Reed. So now we're going to watch Josh Allen stiff arm him. And they lost Bobby Wagner to the Commanders. And my wife doesn't understand just how big of a freaking deal that is, because that is insane. Looks like Dodson got his starting role. That after last year, he deserves it.
Yeah,
he played very well last year.
I'm definitely happy for him and hope he has a good season, except if and when we play against them. And we're still... Even though he's not with the Bills, I still am trying to get him on the show.
Hey,
somehow, awesome. Some way.
The invite's always open.
Real quick, Devin White just signed with the Eagles.
Yes,
breaking news all over the place.
Tampa Bay linebacker, right?
Correct.
Formerly?
Young linebacker. Yep.
He would have been nice signing too.
That's who Bills Mafia wanted to trade for last year, because he actually even sat out a game or two, because that's how bad he didn't want to play for the Bucs.
And then ultimately ended up sticking with them. We mentioned the name a while ago. Well, actually, we got 40 minutes here. Is there any other names that we have not mentioned yet that we need to talk about, other than the corner
Morrow
situation?
Nicholas Morrow. We signed him. He's basically, for anybody that doesn't know who this guy is, think Tyrell Dodson. Period. Point. What he was good at is what Morrow is good at. What he was bad at is what Morrow is bad at. Point blank. But he's been a starter in this league. He's bounced around this league, but he's efficient, very efficient when he comes to run defense. And he's one of the best run stoppers, like tackle percentage wise, in the NFL. So that's great for your linebacker three.
Yeah. And I think he's at the point in his career where he's kind of on the up and up right now. So real exciting new addition there as well.
Yeah. He's young.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's another special teams guy too.
Past two seasons have kind of been his best yet. So climbing. Let's see.
Yeah. I think I saw when Philadelphia played Buffalo last year, I want to say he had like 9 or 10 tackles in that game. It was out there. I don't remember the exact number. Yeah. I've just been sitting here, like, Twitter's kind of blowing up about this Curtis Samuel thing. And then of course this other news that pops up with some signings, but this one's really interesting to me. And this is one of those things that it's kind of a cool stat. So everybody knows Next Gen Stats. We hear about them all the time throughout the season, but Next Gen Stats has clocked Curtis Samuel at an average 9.08 miles per hour within the first second of his routes last season. So that's kind of an indication of his burst, if you will, off the line. It's the third quickest in the NFL with a minimum of 300 routes run last year.
I don't know if I get that full speed.
I think I can get that full speed from the dinner table to the buffet bar. I think I can do it then.
Maybe if I lay down and roll down a hill, I'll get there.
Some
of these metrics that I'm seeing about him, just the physical gifts that he has, it's exciting. And I do want to kind of circle back a little bit on with him, because Mike, you had mentioned something during our conversations before the show about him being a gadget guy.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, no, that's not happening. But he He has, in the last two seasons, almost 80 carries.
Right.
As a runner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think you hit that one on the head. They could definitely use him that way. They did try to do that some with Diggs last year under Joe Brady. Didn't really work out. and I don't really think you want your $30 million or whatever he is, Stephon Diggs receiver, running the ball as a running back.
But, tell that to the Niners who run Deebo Samuel 10 times a freaking game.
Yeah, well, Deebo's Deebo.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, there's not too many Deebo Samuels in the world. But, all right, let's go ahead and jump into this because we had this conversation came up yesterday between myself and a couple of people on Twitter, one of which being Jay Spence the King, who most of you with Buffalo Rumblings, if you follow this group, these podcasters, you know him. Speaking of Buffalo Rumblings, if you haven't seen any of their shows and podcasts, check them out. Fantastic group of people. They lay it all out there. Sarah's the cap guru. She can lay it all out there as far as monies. But when Dane Jackson, when it was the news came out that he signed, somebody refresh my memory where he's going. Carolina. Yeah. People were talking about him as basically one of our top two or three corners. And my stance was, I personally see him more as a four. I think he's basically Levi Wallace. I'm sorry. Okay, let me back up. Dane Jackson signed with Carolina. Then there's rumors that Dane Jackson might be coming back to Buffalo. So the
Levi Wallace was coming to Buffalo.
Levi Wallace. I'm going to get – this is my point. Levi Wallace and Dane Jackson, one and the same, right? That's what I'm trying to get to, actually.
Agreed. I've said that for years. I have said that for years. And everybody's like, you're an idiot. Dane Jackson's good. I'm like, no, he's Levi Wallace. He is average.
I would say a little better than average. Both are a little more than average. Why are you blowing the horn?
I said we just hit 1,000 viewers, so I'm blowing the horn.
Oh, yeah. That's nuts. If you're one of those 1,000 live viewers right now, thank you. That is awesome. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Back to this Levi Wallace talk. I haven't seen anything officially announcing or him signing or anything like that, but the debate came down between Kyrie Elam and Wallace. Who would you rather have as your number three?
Levi Wallace played his best years in the league in Buffalo.
True.
So, there's that.
But not as a starter. Well, I guess he did start opposite White a season or two. Years. Yeah.
Basically his entire career.
What do you think, though? Which one? Kyrie Elam or – and not just your personal preference, but let's put it to you this way. If you're betting a paycheck on it, who's our number three next year?
If I'm betting my paycheck, Kyrie Elam.
Mike?
I might have to go Wallace just to fight with Casey. But no, seriously, with his history in Buffalo, I don't know, kind of like the Mitch Trubisky thing, you know, it made perfect sense for him to come back to Buffalo. And like I just said, Levi's played, I think, some of his best ball in Buffalo when he was here. So, yeah. And I really like Kyrie Elam too, so I'm not, you know, throwing any shade his way. But yeah, I gotta say, we're gonna pick one now. I'm pick Wallace.
So
yeah,
Kyrie Elam. We saw him coming on at the end of last year after he finally got over that injury. We saw, you know, high flashes his rookie year. I've repeated this over and over. He was tied for the team lead in interceptions his rookie year. It's pretty impressive for a corner who's a quote unquote bust, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's not, well, it's his fault, but I mean, the fact that they hit on Christian Benford in the same draft in the sixth round, and he's turned out to be as much of a stud as he has been, you know, I mean, maybe Elam wasn't ready, you know, but maybe like he's now in year three. This is usually the year that players under McDermott make a big jump. So I think that they would rather bet on the youthfulness and Elam being in the system for the last 3 years or last 2 years over, you know, Levi Wallace. And and his physical limitations. We know he's not the fastest. He's not the twitchiest. He's a very good, I won't say very good. He's a good zone player. You know, he's good at reading the eyes of the quarterback. But I think they would rather have Elam.
He was a seventh rounder, wasn't he?
Yep.
So you basically, what the difference between him and Wallace would be is the traits, like you just mentioned. Physically, you want Kyer Elam to take that step and be the guy because physically, he's the one that can match up with the likes of Tyreek Hill or Davante Adams or some of the other big name receivers in the AFC. For everything that Levi Wallace has brought to the Bills when he was here and everything he's accomplished in his career, physically, he can't hold a candle to Kyer Elam. So
maybe I'll change my mind next week. Not today.
But so I got to go with Elam. And I do think that there's still people out there that want Elam traded. And I understand that. But I'm still, I guess they call him stans. Is that what they refer to now when you're like a supporter of a guy or whatever?
No,
I'm
super
a Kyer Elam stan.
Yeah.
I am the wrong guy to ask about lingo, and I'm the youngest one on this show.
I'm the oldest one, and I'm not sure if that's the but I think anyways.
But you got lots of grandkids and all that.
True.
Yeah, they should grandkids. They should be educating me better on lingo, right?
Yeah.
Right.
No, you're doing great.
So all summer long, I'm going to be that's the hill I'm going to die on, is I honestly think that Kyer Elam is going to take a step. He's going to prove a lot of doubters wrong. There was the ankle injury last year, and I mean, I've played corner like out in the street and back in junior high, and if you got a bum ankle, it's hard. You can't do it. I can't imagine being an NFL level and trying to do it. Like, come on.
And don't forget, kids, Ronnie did this when they hadn't invented cleats yet.
I think they still had leather helmets.
Leather helmets. We had a single bar like a kicker.
Oh man.
But I'm a big fan of Kyer Elam still. I'm not ready to label him as a bust. Like you said, year three and a new coach. And so one of the things that I've heard some people say and kind of pushing back against that is this coaching staff in the past has done so much with little, i.e. Levi Wallace, Dane Jackson. Why couldn't somebody like Kyer Elam with the traits get it done under that previous coaching staff? Not everybody's going to gel with the coach. That's just a fact of life. I've had bosses that I just didn't gel with. It didn't work well with.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll see what happens with that.
Again, this is also all hypothetical. Levi Wallace isn't even a Bill.
Yeah. That's why there's the question mark.
And just so people know, basically Wallace put it up on his IG Instagram yesterday, last night. Let me see if I can find it here really quick just to see what it said. Oh, I don't want to go to that one. But something this like, all comes, it's his too. Fault.
Yes. It is. He posted himself in Buffalo State, like in Bill's stadium when he did the Steelers, and it said, "I heard you were asking about me," or something like that.
Well, it's him in a Steelers
Could
uniform. He's walking down the walkway, whatever, Bill's but he's tunnel, in the Bills stadium.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And the caption basically says, "Felt you missed me so ... and then a waving hand. Mm-hmm. Who knows what that means? Maybe he's taking a page out of help me out, guys.
I don't know. Maybe he deletes it, and it's that Mandela effect.
The defensive lineman really was just making everybody think he was leaving. Oh, offensive lineman, Deion Dawkins.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, maybe he took a page out of Deion Dawkins, and he's just trolling Bills Mafia.
Yeah. Why has everyone got to troll us?
Yeah, but he doesn't get to. He wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
I would welcome
him
back. He
looks like an idiot. He looks like an idiot. Dawkins was funny. If that's the case.
That was not funny. I was worried.
If he comes back, I will be like, I'll be hurt like perfect for the cornerback room. That's four solid corners.
Yeah, four good ones. And Terrence is a slot nickel corner. So to me, that's kind of a separate position. That's how I've always kind of looked at it. Because not everybody can play the slot corner position. What about, I can't remember the first name, but Ingram, the corner who's been on the practice squad of last year. Jamarcus, he played pretty well in the preseason and things. So he's still in play as well to maybe make the 53. But
I could see, if they do bring in Levi Wallace, letting he and Ingram battle for that cornerback four spot. Loser ends up on the practice squad.
Could, yeah. So we're actually, a little over a day into the NFL new year. So free agency technically just started. Do you guys expect – well, let me ask you this. What are you hoping for and what do you think might happen in the next few days with the Bills and Brandon Bean?
Go ahead, Mike.
Maybe some defensive pieces, safety, D-line maybe, something like that.
Do you think they swing for the fences at safety? Spend what little money they got left?
I don't know what we would consider swinging for the fences, but Casey mentioned Justin Simmons earlier. I'm a big fan of
him. That would be swinging for the fences.
Yeah. But, I mean, how old is he now? Or how many years does he have in the league?
31.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Is he that old?
Yeah.
So, I mean, is there – yeah, I don't know, if he wants to move and play for a team that might have a shot, take a little deal. Who knows? But I mean, we didn't think we were signing a receiver for $8 to $10 million a year. So,
right.
Yeah. Who knows? There's just been a lot of news coming in, a lot of things happening, in the past few days, couple weeks now.
A lot of conversations that we don't know about, I mean, this whole Eric Armstead thing, we all saw the deleted tweet that came out today. So clearly the Bills aren't done. I don't think that they just
not at all.
I don't think that they allocated that money that they were, I guess, trying to give Armstead and just handed it to Curtis Samuel. I think that Brandon Bean was like, all right, I have money allotted here, I have money allotted here, I have money allotted here. That way he knows his budget for each position. So I still think that we might get a decent defensive tackle or defensive end. And I think I would bank more on it being a defensive end, because there's not many high end defensive ends in this draft. There's not many that go in the second, third round.
Yeah.
So I think that he would rather pay, somebody like a Chase Young, maybe a similar deal to Curtis Samuel, and keep him around for a couple of years, try to, grow him along. It gives us depth over the next couple of years with Von Miller coming up. His contract can be kicked anytime basically after this year. So, and we have a decision to make on Groot on a fifth year option due this May. And so
this can be next a big year for him.
Yeah. And so it's one of those things, you got to kind of plan for the future and right now. And think and really start trying to get young. We've seen the influx of age already. I don't expect it to really stop.
But do you think back to Levi Wallace again? But we're talking about the safety defensive back situation. Does that we talked about other players possibly moving to safety too? Does that help that situation? Levi Wallace signing.
Yeah, you mean as far as,
Levi Wallace, does that help with depth at our defensive back, the potential of somebody moving over to safety? I mean, we talked about Trey. He's gone now.
Yeah. I don't know. I think
just trying to guess the next move. I'm just stuck between defensive back and D-line.
I just don't see any of the corners at this point moving. I think if Trey was staying on the team and was healthy, absolutely I could see Douglas or Benford making that move. But with White out now, with Dane Jackson out now, I don't see Kyrie Elam moving to safety. He just, yeah. I don't think physically he could do that.
No, he wouldn't be ready yet.
Well, I don't think he
if he wasn't, right. We haven't seen that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he's not a willing tackler by any means, but
right.
he's kind of scrawny.
He makes up for it.
I don't see him going toe to toe.
He does make up for it
with Henry.
Yeah. No. Oh well. Not many would.
That's true.
Can I address Calvin Coolidge's comment?
No, not on this show.
My only reply to this is, you guys signed Gardner Minshew over trading for Justin Fields. That's a bigger yikes, bud.
For those just listening, Curtis Samuel over Armstead, yikes. That's what he's saying.
Okay, well, let me, since we brought that up, we're getting a little short on time, but I did, this kind of actually reminds me of a thought that I had. I think there is potentially a move, like you were saying, for like a Justin Simmons. That would be the swing for the fences safety move. And here's why I'm saying that, because we signed Curtis Samuel at $8 million a year, up to 10. And if we were legitimately pursuing Armstead, the two are almost simultaneous. So that tells me that there's a way that Bean can make it work, right? I don't think it was we didn't get Armstead, so let's go ahead and put the money over here to Curtis Samuel. Because the Curtis Samuel thing came out almost right after the conversation ended finally with the Eric Armstead thing. I think those were two conversations that are going simultaneously. Now it's possible that being told Samuel, hey, we're working on this deal over here, but if it falls through, we're signing you. Maybe that was part of the conversation, but I do think that Bean has found a way to make it work where we might be able to get two significant signings this year, one of which most likely being a safety. I think it's most likely a safety because we know how Coach McDermott is about trusting players, especially defense. That's why AJ Klein keeps getting brought back. I think he would have a really hard time trusting a rookie safety in his defense, especially being a former defensive back himself. I think he kind of holds his DBs to a different standard than maybe the others, which is one reason why the Bills secondary has always been pretty, you know, good, regardless of who's in there. I think they're gonna go after somebody. There's another name though that I'm interested in that I don't think would cost as much as Simmons, but I think could be just as good, and that's Gardner Johnson.
He got hurt
last year. What? When? I didn't see that.
Like yesterday, he got signed by the Eagles. Well, 3 years, $33 million.
All right. Well, scratch that. Justin Simmons it is. Get it done. That's why there's three of us on here. In case one of us misses something, somebody else has got it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess completely... checks and balances. Yeah.
That's right. But it still doesn't take away from my point. I think there's money. And I think they're going to spend it probably at the safety position. But I do think, and we'll talk about this more down the road, I still think that they do address wide receiver and safety in the draft when we get to that point. But you guys got anything to add?
Spend the money at defensive tackle.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
It's got to be either there or safety. I can understand defensive tackle too, but.
100%. I think between the two, what I would do would be defensive tackle. So the fact that you'd go safety, Mike, where would you go between the two?
I'm going to go with tackle because we haven't added nothing there yet. We've added defensive backs.
Ronnie loses. We're out.
But we have two starting defensive tackles. Don't have two starting safeties. If there's an opportunity,
we're going to go for it. So.
But we need more than two. You can't have just two fat guys.
We need more than one safety, too.
We have DeMar Hamlin and Cam Lewis.
Yeah, they're not starting safeties. We have Jordan Phillips, baby.
We don't know that yet. No, he's a free agent.
Puna Ford is still out there.
There's something in the works.
We might bring him back.
Oh, it's early yet in the offseason, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Stay tuned.
Tim Settle's not out there anymore. Tim Settle got screwed by the Texans.
Yep.
One more thing before we go.
Before we went live.
Just want to thank everyone for watching again. The Mafia Cast, sponsored by Game On Video Games and Sports Memorabilia. Check out John's stores, Hamburg and Greece, Rochester, New York, Buffalo, across the whole state, pretty much. This side, the west side of the state. But get in that store, check it out, check out the cool events maybe going on. He has signings at his store. He has, I don't know how many millions of cards, helmets, jerseys, you name it, movie memorabilia, all different sports, you name it. Great gift ideas, Christmas presents, great for any collection. So go check out John's store, Game On Sports. And yeah, that's all I got.
And wherever you are watching us right now, hit the like and subscribe and share. We are over 1,100 live viewers right now, so that's fantastic. We've never had that many, so that's another new record. 2 weeks back to back, we broke the record. Last chance, you guys got anything more to add?
I think I'm good.
Go Bills.
Go Bills. We'll see you all next week.
Go Bills.
Hey, it's John from Game On Sports Memorabilia. Check out our huge selection of unopened wax boxes of Pokemon cards. You have to see our selection of over 2 million sports cards in stock, plus hard-to-find card supplies. And if you have anything to sell, bring it in. We can help you determine the true value before you sell it. We pay fair market value every day. It's Game On Sports Memorabilia, 2670 Dewey Avenue in Greece. Check out our podcast for news and information on the card and collectible universe. Also, check out our Facebook page.
For more, call 481-2153. That's 481-2153.